Back, you know, he told those that looking for him, the ones are going to see him. Amen. You ever been to where you plan to go somewhere with somebody or waiting on somebody? And myself, if I'm ever going to go somewhere with somebody and they say, well, I'll be by it so-and-so time to pick you up. We'll go wherever we're going. And well before that time, maybe possibly at times, I might be peeping out the window. I'm ready for them. You know, I'm already ready for them to come before they get there. I don't want them to come and pull up in my yard and beeping the horn and me still laying in my pajamas, laying in the bed or anything, you know. And they, well, if you're going to have to give me a little extra time. They gave me the time. They wanted me to be ready at that time. I like to be ready. I like to be ready ahead of time. Amen. Same way with the Lord. I don't want to wait until I know that, well, there he goes with the church. And me to go scrambling around thinking, well, I'm going to miss out if I don't hurry. I've done missed out. If I'm scrambling at that moment, I've missed it. And I want to be ready. And you know, the good part about it is he left us a book that he said a fool or a wayfaring man. He won't err in this way. Amen. And I'm glad there's a lot of things in this world that's more complex than my little mind can comprehend. But he made salvation simple. When Paul told the Romans that he commended his love to you, that while you was a sinner, he died for you. Amen. That's all I need to know. And then he let me know if I could believe it in my heart and confess it with my mouth. Amen. I could be saved. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Man, what a great weekend. And you may not have ever been like this. And I'll try not to do too many preliminaries. I know Sunday mornings, you better get it. You get it and go. But I've done already been told your preacher preaches a long time. So, and amen. That being said, you know, back home, we've lost a couple of very, very important members in our church to the virus over the last couple of years. And, you know, you can start seeing your numbers go down, and you see when you're used to a certain area, you can almost get the Elijah mentality that, man, we're just dwindling down. It doesn't look as good as it has. And then you get outside of your circle a little bit and find out, man, this thing's bigger than a building. Amen. It's a mighty army. Amen. And I believe it was Brother Kenny that said that he's not coming back for anything less than what he left. Amen. He's going to have a church that's prepared, that's ready, that's done what needs to be done. And man, I'm just grateful for you all. I've just met a lot of new friends. That's what being a Christian does for you, isn't it? It'll just show you just how big your family is. And we do, man. I believe I could say it from my heart. I already could say, well, I love you all. And I believe I can say it and mean it, that this has been a blessing. Amen. We've been grateful to be here. We've been a little spoiled. Amen. And, I didn't turn it away. I enjoyed it. Amen. But it's been great. And everything that's been done, from handshakes to kind words to just getting in, more than anything, just responding in the altars. That's what fuels a preacher to me. Amen. Is when I see response in the altar. That's what drives our drive. Amen. And to Pastor Brother Shane, Sister Kayla, they've just been so good, even before I got here. Amen. Ahead of time, already taking care of us, setting things up just right. Amen. We've had it just right. And sorry my family's not here today, and dealing with sickness and don't know to what extent just yet, but trust the Lord will take care of that for us. And so God bless you all. Man, it's been a joy. And one thing about it, I'd like to hope we meet again down the path. But if not, we've got the same destination. Amen. And the brother that I've been making mention of that's just before death back home, he's often told me when we would leave church, if I don't see you again here, I'll see you there. Amen. And looks the way things are, our next meeting will be there. Amen. But that'll be all right. That'll be the best meeting. Thank God. But God bless you. Thank you for all that's been done. And man, I have thoroughly enjoyed Sunday school this morning. I like good teaching, but I like good preaching too, and that's what I got. I enjoyed Sunday school, and my brother asked one time if I wanted something to say, and my thought was, no need to reinvent the wheel. I'm just like a little bird. I'm honest. I'm not prideful at all, y'all. If a man's feeding me, I'm willing to eat. And my brother fed my soul this morning. I just enjoyed it. I've learned back that when there's some folks talking, it's good for my kind not to talk and to listen and absorb. And I did that this morning. But you blessed me and fed my soul, just gave me just a whole new outlook on a simple subject, amen, of this true faith that we have. And, man, I did. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Want the Lord to help us today. Now, we're not, the meeting's over, amen, but I'm still preaching, so help me. Don't hang me out to dry now, amen. Get in here with me, and let's let the Lord help us. Brother Austin, again, I've said it multiple times. I have so enjoyed fellowship with him the weekend, and Pastor Shane, just been great. They've been so fun to be around, talk about the Lord, talk about preaching, laugh about life. That's what I enjoy doing. Amen. So God bless you all. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I guess my voice is getting deeper as the week goes by. That might be a good sign it's leaving. Amen. But what's left of it, I want to try that today to just touch you and encourage you. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Let's read three verses of Scripture in this chapter. Let's start with verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Notice, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For a man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly unto them. Amen. Last part of verse 11 said, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And I'd like to preach this morning, if the Lord would help me, if this is it. If this is it. Amen. Now, my family, not a lot of folks don't know all of my family, but I've been told this, that my great-granddaddy was a hard worker. Amen. I knew from my own that my pawpaw that I talk so often about was a very hard worker. Amen. And so looking at that, and then down to my daddy recently in the last couple of years retired down in Marietta, Georgia from Lockheed Martin. But in my life of being at home, I'd know there were times that daddy, he'd work multiple jobs. He didn't just work his mainstay career. He would work other jobs also to make a family. Now, I was an only child. My wife says that's part of my problem sometimes, I think, that I was an only child. And but I recognize as just a boy that daddy was a hard worker. He wanted to make things happen for the family. He wanted us to have. Now, don't take that to think that we're a real wealthy family from down south. I do know this. He worked hard enough. We survived. I didn't get everything, but I got a lot of things as a boy. And it was all because of his hard work. And so that being said, I feel that it's important to me for my name to work hard in whatever I do. Amen. Whether it be preaching, I want to preach with everything that's within this little old frame body that you see. I want to lay it all on the line every time I pick up a microphone. Amen. And on jobs that I've had, I've been guilty at times. Maybe I didn't give as much as others, but for the most part, I like to lead by example. I have others that work behind me, and I want them to work hard, but I can't expect them to work hard if I'm not an example to them. And so we find here the advice is being given that whatever you do, do it with all your might. It doesn't matter if you're vacuuming the building. It doesn't matter if you're back tidying up the restrooms. If you're on the platform holding a position, whatever it may be. Or if it's behind the scenes that most people, even among the church, don't know what you're doing. He's saying, do that with all. The reward comes in the effort. Amen. It isn't always in the work that the reward comes to me. A lot of times it's the heart and the effort that we put in. It's where that reward comes from. The sense of that I've done my best, even if it wasn't the best, I've done my best. And I think the reward comes from that. And so reason being that he lets us know that when we get where we're going, the grave, the end of this mortal life, when we get there, then it matters not if I had great ability or not. It matters not if I had great talent or not. One man said the richest place on the earth is a cemetery. Amen. All that potential that could have been put forth. Great songs that never got put on paper. Great messages that never made it to the pulpit. Great things that humanity could have profited from. But somebody never put it forth. And they took that to the grave, which meant it left them holding so many valuable things. But then in the end, that there was really very little value at all because it was never used. And so he said, do it while you can. And my mind also goes to a time that I heard it told of an elder man that had brought his sons in when he was getting ready to pass maybe. And he told those sons that whatever you're going to do for the Lord, do it while you can. And whatever you're going to do, do it now. And he lets them know in that statement that as a young man, that he had felt the Lord deal with him to preach and he never done it because he didn't think he was able. Amen. I don't ever want to get to the end of the life. I might get to the end of the life and never made it to the top 100 preachers. I may get to the end of the life and never made it to the smartest of preachers. But I don't want to get to the end of the life and find that I didn't do what God dealt with me to do. Amen. I may not reach the things that men's eyes would see, but I would like to get to the end and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to do it the way he wanted me to do it. And so when we read this and he says, I returned and saw under the sun. He begins to deal with the things of life. That he deals with different types of people. He said it might not be the swift battle to the strong. Well, when you got the word swift, the opposite of that may have been slow or maybe are somewhat held back. When you get north to the battle to the strong, well, the only other thing is the strong is weak. You're going to be one or the other. Neither bread to the wise, we may be the ignorant. Riches to men of understanding, we may be poor by lack of understanding. Nor yet favor of men of skill. You may know how to do everything, you might not know how to do anything. We have all those different variables in life. There's some people that are brilliant beyond what I can even imagine. I'm not. We're two different kind of people. They obtain knowledge. Maybe I didn't to that level. There are those that could buy whatever their hearts desire. And there's some that have a hard time just having enough to survive. That's what we have in the world that you and I live in today. But then when he gets down to the place, he lets us know there is one thing where all men are equal and all women are equal, and that's that everybody's given a space of time. Everybody's given a window of opportunity in their life. And so when I look at that, you know, if this thing would have been for the rich, I wouldn't have been able to get in line as soon as others would have. If it would have been for those that are physically strong, I'd have been further down the line than most people were. But he let us live on level playing field. He said it's about a space of time given to you in your life. When I was in high school, I played football. Amen. And I believe it was when you would go out the field house of my high school, there'd be a sign there that would say 48 minutes to play and a lifetime to remember. You know what it was letting us know? You're only going to be out here tonight for just a little while, but you'll remember your effort for the rest of your life. Amen. But could I tell you that same thing? I'd like to apply to my spiritual man. But in this, it's I've got a a lifetime to do it, but I've got an eternity to remember what I've done with this life and what I've done with the opportunities that God gave me. Now, I'll be honest, I've wasted a lot of time in my young life running from God, living away from God, but what time I do God left, I'd like for him to know I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. I'd like to be what you desire of me to be. But what will we do with our opportunities? There's people today that one man would be wealthy and another man not so, who at one point in their life were handed the same opportunity. One took it and one didn't. One, you know, they say with great risk comes great reward. Amen. I can tell you, we've taken a risk when we told that world, I'm not going to be among this system anymore. But great reward came with that great risk. Amen. Thank God for it today. But there are those today who have attained a lot of things because they took advantage of an opportunity. There are heirs to great fortunes that done the same things that their forefathers done, and they've maintained the fortune. There are others that you and I, you got news just like I do. The rich and the famous of our world, along the way sometimes comes one that don't maintain what they've been given. They don't take advantage of that easy living that they've been given, and they end up living poverty lives with horrible stories in their life simply because they didn't take advantage of their time. Amen. And so Solomon wants us to know, you might not have been given riches. You might not have been deemed among the most wise. You may not. You might be among the strong. You might be among the weak. But you all hold something in your life that nobody else can hold. The psalmist said, my soul is continually in my hands. Amen. So it matters not opinion of others. It matters not. I told y'all Sunday school, I had my ink pen working part of the time in there this morning. I get to Georgia, they may think I came up with it when I talk about that stuff. Amen. That my brother shared with us this morning. It's just outstanding. Just things I want to hold on to. But listen, there's things of this life I want to preach to you. There's things in this life that you may have chose a career and later on recognize I'd been better off to chose a different career. Amen. We've all done those type of things. You may have bought a car and later on thought, well, I got caught up in that buyer. You know, that fever you get, that buying fever when you think there's no other car is going to suffice me. No other color is going to suffice me. 2 weeks down the road thinking I should have got a black one and a different model. Amen. You know what? That's just called, in a moment we make decisions sometimes, but in life a lot of times you have time to live to overcome that. I've made bad financial choices in my younger days. And through time, the Lord's helped me live long enough to overcome a lot of that. Time has been favorable. But you know what begins to happen? The older I get, the more important time begins to be to me. You say, you're just a young man. Well, it depends on who it is saying it. My children think I'm an old man. Amen. My brother here thinks I'm just a boy. And to him, I am just a boy. To him, I'm just a young man. I've just been around a few days compared to the journey that he has taken. But to me, but the time that I have, it might not mean as much to him as it means to me. But I only have, hey, according to life expectancy, I don't have as far to go as I've already come. That doesn't even sound right to say. But if I go according to what they say expectancy is, I'm done beyond halfway. What that means is, son, if you're going to do anything in your life, you better start buckling down. You better start getting more serious than you've ever been before. You better do what you can while you can. But what I've come to tell us is this. You can look at a whole lifetime in that spectrum and know, I'm drawing nearer. Have I taken advantage of the time? Have I done with it what God wanted me to do? Have I answered the calls that he asked me to answer? Have I obeyed where he gave command? Have I followed where he led? Have I went down when he said go down? Did I get up when he said get up? When he told me to get up? Have I done exactly what he wanted in a lifetime? But then let's get a little closer in this meeting. We started here Thursday night. Our visitors are gone. Opportunities from Thursday night, Friday morning, amen, Friday night, Saturday morning. Do you recognize multiple opportunities have done come forth? Multiple times that God's Spirit has swept through this building. Every service I felt God's presence. It isn't that some that He came and some that He didn't. I have felt God's presence every time we've been in this building. Amen. But what I'd like to ask you is this. If we had those services from Thursday night all the way down to now. Listen, a lot of our visitors left yesterday morning or yesterday afternoon after the morning service. This morning they're wondering in their hearts possibly. I had a great opportunity to have dealt with that, but you know what? They're gone now, and whether they took advantage of it or not, it'll be for them to deal with. But this is what I do know. There comes opportunities in life where I may have thought, man, I should have got it Thursday night. I should have jumped on Brother Austin's message Friday morning and buried myself in that altar and let God deal with me about being the church. I don't want them to look for another. I don't want them to look past this skinny preacher and say, I just won't say, he don't got what I need. I want to be what they're looking for, but perhaps I let that opportunity pass me by, and then I come down to Friday night, Saturday morning, and maybe I should have and I didn't. Maybe I should have and could have and let it slip me by. But you know what I like about this meeting we're in? Here I am again. I feel the Lord all over again, and another opportunity is being presented. Hey, if you're lost here today, there'll never be a greater day than today to be saved. If you're sick today, there'll never be a greater day. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but this moment. For you know what a moment is? It's just a moment. And do you know how valuable a moment is? It's so valuable that you only get to possess it for just boom. And you have to give it back. We walked through yesterday afternoon over at the settlement, Jamestown Settlement. My children loving it. Their daddy may have been loving it more. Amen. Looking at all those historical things. But there were valuables they would allow you to look at. They didn't let me touch them. But you know what? The greatest thing that I've ever been given is time. Not an ancient sword. Not an ancient gun. Amen. I've got my great-granddaddy's Bible that was given him as a missionary. It's valuable to me. It's got the same words in it that yours does, but it's worth more than yours is. Why? It's my great-granddaddy's Bible. When I hold it, it's valuable to me. You say, but what if I just give you mine and you give me his? It's the same thing. No, to you it might just be a Bible. To me it's a treasure from a man that went out of this country with that Bible to do a work for the Lord. It's valuable to me. But you know what's more valuable than that old black Bible of my great-granddaddy? It's the moment I'm living in right now. For a moment, no sooner than I put my hand on a moment, that moment, time says you can't have me any longer. And I'm already in another moment from that. But do you recognize? Sometimes we handle them with such careless and without thought of how valuable time is. We allow moments turn into minutes, and minutes turn into hours, and on top of another, it multiply until we're years down the road recognizing I've let some things slip through my hands. I've let some things slip through my life. I should have taken advantage of it. Hey, I should have been preaching long before 30, I'm sure. I let it slip through my hands through doing it my way. But that's what I want to do now. I want to redeem the time that I lost on those years. I want to do what this moment allows me to do. I don't got as long to go maybe as I've already come. And so he says, you've got it. You might not can go out and buy what your neighbor can. But one thing you can do that your neighbor does, you can obtain a moment. But what we do with it. You ever heard people say, man, when they've gotten saved, as they grow older, I wish I'd have done it sooner. I wish I'd have got in sooner than I'm one of those. Amen. I'm one of those people that would say that. I got saved at 23. Amen. Thank God. I wish I'd have got saved way sooner than 23. And so what I would be telling you, I allowed a lot of moments to slip through my hands. I allowed a lot of opportunities to get out of reach before I took advantage of them. But I don't want to allow this weekend to pass. Amen. Some's thinking, man, I do this every revival. I want something. I desire something. I'm even longing. I prayed about it. And every time, about the time the meeting's closing out, the thought is, well, I've allowed another revival to slip through my hands. I've allowed another altar call to slip through my hands. Thank God, but I'd like to be like Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. Amen. When we get to the book of Mark, down to chapter 10, when Bartimaeus is there by the wayside begging. Amen. He knows that he's got a condition. He spent most of his life right there in that place begging for other people to help him. But this is what I'm fixing to let us know. Even Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, is fixing to get a moment to take advantage of. He's fixing to get an opportunity to do what nobody, the baker can't do it for him. The banker can't do it for him. The man down the road, the friend across the street, none of these people can. But Jesus Christ presents a moment. And it was said of Rahab this morning. But how did Bartimaeus know he's there? When he heard, when they told him, he's here. Jesus Christ is here. The Lord is passing through. Amen. I want to flip over and let you know, though. I want you to notice just how fast this happens. It says, and they came to Jericho. But listen, before we can ever make it out of the second line in my Bible of verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, it said, and as he went out of Jericho, he's about to miss an opportunity. He's about to miss the healing that he needs in his life. Amen. You think, well, if he don't get it this time, then this is how we live a lot of time. If I don't get it here, I'll get it in the next revival. I'll get it when the next evangelist comes by. I'll get it at prayer meeting or next Sunday morning when pastor gets back, when I'm a little more comfortable around the congregation and that new preacher's not around and I'm more comfortable with pastor being here. Hey, I know I'm more comfortable sometimes in certain environments too, but when I recognize I got to get it now or never, I got to have it now or never, it's then that I recognize it don't matter who's sitting across the aisle. It don't matter who's knelt beside me in the altar. What matters is I've got a need. I'm here. Christ is here. I must take advantage of it now. And Bartimaeus is there. You know the story. He begins to cry out. I believe somewhere inside, I don't believe nobody tells him, hey, this guy's fixing to die. But the Bible, you and I have chapter 11. Bartimaeus does not. Chapter 11 lets me know he won't be coming back to Jericho no more. This is it. Amen. He won't pass by just like this anymore, Bartimaeus, that this is it for you. And something in his heart, listen, I could tell you till I'm blue in the face, and sometimes may look like I might be close to that, but amen, I might preach all weekend long and might not get that gist across to you, but how many times does your heart begin to beat what seemingly feels like harder than it was previous, faster than what it was previous? I've told them the closest thing in the spiritual to natural anxiety is conviction. Amen. Conviction and anxiety, they feel a lot the same. It's when my insides feels like they're about to run away with me. Amen. But conviction draws me to the altar. Anxiety will push me away from the altar. Thank God. But listen, something in that man's heart, just like you and I, let him recognize. If we're ever going to get a hold of what God's got for us, I'd just say this to the church world. If we can't recognize in this hour, we need revival now. We don't need revival in the next decade. We don't need to worry about the revival of the last decade. I need a move of God today. I need a move of God in this hour. I mean, we need a move of God in this generation. We've shouted for most of our lives over a revival in California with a man with a box on his head. Now, I'm not throwing off one of the great moves of God in our nation's history at Azusa Street. But what kind of God would it be that gave that man such an opportunity and was so unfair that it was, I had to shout over what happened to him. Or Evans Roberts, or these other great people of history that were a part of great revivals. How unfair would it be? But the Bible lets us know he's no respecter of person. Amen. What he's done for my elder brother. Amen. I told y'all I love older people. Amen. I just added him to my list of the ones of them that I love. It's fed my soul throughout the year. But from my older brother all the way to, listen, he's lived twice my life and then some already. Thank God. He knows some things that I don't know. He's experienced some things that I've never experienced. So I like to sit there and absorb when they're teaching and when they're talking. But with that being said, the same God that's gave him all those years of stories, the same God that's walked him through a life lived for God, Brother Austin, has given me a moment in time also to learn from that same God, to follow that same example. And if I get to the end and I say I didn't get it like he got it, and the only thing I'll have to in my mind, you didn't take advantage of it like they did. Some gave all. Some accepted it for what it was. But Bartimaeus said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And listen, sometimes we preach that and we make it almost, it sounds like this is only for one or two people in the building. Sometimes it is. But for the most part, this gospel was for humanity. You hear me? The gospel was for humanity. And it don't matter what line on what page. The saved, the lost, the broken, the smart, the ignorant. Every line of every page is for every person. Amen. And you can get something from it. My mama, she loved God. One of the great people I preached to, she was the greatest woman I'd ever known at her funeral. But she used to have advice that she would give. It doesn't matter what the preacher's preaching. Get you something from it. If you're saved and he's preaching for the lost, be listening. God will give you something if you'll listen. If he's preaching to the saved and you are lost, you can still get something from it if you're listening. What I'm saying is this today. You might be high, you might be low. You might be well, you might be sick. You might be going through something, you might not be going through anything. But taking advantage of moments is good for everybody. Taking advantage of what God's given us is good for everybody. And they begin to tell Bartimaeus, I'm not going to be a long time this morning. I don't think. But he began to tell Bartimaeus, hey, could you at least wait till he's out of town? We hadn't had a man like this come through and who knows when. And on the day that the most well-known name in all of humanity's history comes to our town and the beggar acts up. That's why. Sometimes it's hard to be the first one to the altar. That's why it's sometimes when the preacher says, is anybody going through what I'm talking about, that we look around before we vote. That's why. It's not because you don't want to admit it. It's not because you don't want help. It's that thought that everybody's not interested in getting help like I am. I might get in their way if I say I need prayer today. That's why I dismissal prayer sometimes when you know I need to be anointed with oil, but I'm scared to interrupt the service, and you go home brokenhearted, and you go home with your mind overwhelmed with the cares of this life. I'm telling you, Bartimaeus, I don't know how many days he wanted to be different than he was. I'm just in my own thought every day. Amen. I don't feel the best every day, but I can see. Amen. My brother's been putting some drops in, dealing with eyes, different things with the eye. When those eyes can see clearly, it's a blessing now. You might would think I'm only 44, fixing to be 45, but I got these contacts in this morning. If I didn't have them in, I'd have to get real Neil Pastor over here to talk to him and know who he was. I can't see very well without these contacts, but can you imagine? You not being able to see anything, depending on somebody for you everything. Amen. I'm thankful for people for praying for me. I'm thankful for people that will lay their hand on my back and say, I love you, my brother. But thank God, I like from time to time to just get in touch with God myself. I like from time to time to feel his hand in my hand for myself. I want you to love me. I want you to encourage me. But there's nothing like having an encounter with him. And they tell him, hey, hold your peace. And what do we do most times? Okay. Sorry, y'all. I just needed something. I'm sorry. I don't want to get in the way. And what we hear, I don't want to be a hindrance tonight. It's almost like we're apologizing for wanting to be obedient. But Bartimaeus let them know, you can move on down the line if you don't want me to worship. You can get on down the road if you don't want me crying out to the Lord. Listen now, we've allowed certain groups of people in this hour to cower us down from worshiping the Lord because we don't want to be labeled like they are. Amen. Just because they're doing it for a show don't mean I can't do it for the surety that it's real. Amen. A lot of them shouting today for the show. I'm shouting because I know. Amen. It ain't a show. It's because I know. Amen. I know what He done in my heart. I know what He done in my life. And I refuse to let a flesh display of what looks like to be worship take away the true worship that God has put in my heart. I'm going to run the aisle, don't matter if they like it or not. I'm going to love the Lord whether they like it or not. Hey, they going to call you something either way. They see us come in a place, oh, you part of that group. No. We look a lot alike, but we're nothing alike. Y'all just read between the lines. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I know how many of them there are. You hear me? I know how many of them. That book told me how many of them there were. In the Jordan, he confirmed it to me when John was there. I know how many is there. But I'm not going to let them steal my belief. And just because the world wants to label me and the world wants to throw me under a blanket statement of what kind of people we are, I'm not going to quit believing like I believe to keep from being labeled. Amen. And they want to call me. And listen, I don't know all the different labels that are out there. They can call me the charismatics and they can call me all these other kind of names because we scream when we feel good and we throw both hands in the air when we feel God. Thank God. I found that in life somebody's going to call you something no matter what you are. So I'm just going to prove them to be true. Amen. You're one of them, aren't you? Yep, one of them. And I'm going to live a life that proves that's what I am. A man at my Paul's church many years ago sang a song that said, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. I'm one of the ones that does live this life of happiness. Thank God I was sad before I got here. I'm not going to continue to be sad once I get here. He put joy in my heart. He put gladness in my soul. He picked me up out of a pit, put my foot on a rock, put a new song in my mouth, praises to my God. Why in the world would I sit on it for fear of a label from this world around me? So when the world says you ought not to be running like that, that's a good sign to run. When they tell you y'all worship too much, that's a good indication to go ahead and throw your hand in the air. Amen. I refuse to let them shut up my praise. And Bartimaeus said, y'all don't feel like I feel. You was able to see coming down the road today, and I wasn't. Amen. That world out there today says you get too excited in church. Thank God the old song said, if you could see where He brought me from to where I am today, then you know the reason why I love Him so. There's a reason I love living this way. There's the reason I get excited about God. I know where I was. You wasn't there when He found me. I was. I know what it felt like to be bound and to finally feel freedom. To kneel down wondering where in the world was life going to carry me next. And to stand up knowing my hands is in the hands of a man that can. Thank God. That's why we get excited. That's why we live our lifetime worshiping Him. But it said then when Bartimaeus, I'm trying, y'all. Hey, man, I might not be a long time before I see you all again. I got to get it all out. But he cried it in. He cried again. But the more, a great deal. I believe what he done was, y'all don't like it when the volume's on 5, check 7 out. I'm going to turn it up louder than what it was. But you know what I believe that was revealing to me? That was a heart cry. A lot of people got a mouth cry, but some folks got a heart. Amen. And when from the abundance of the heart, that mouth will speak. That mouth will tell that congregation. And that cry got louder than the chaos around them. You say, Brother Smith, our world's in a mess, but we've got a cry that's louder than the chaos. It's Jesus, thou Son of David. Amen. That world's got the chaos, but we've got the power of a cry. And we've got an ear of a Savior that his ear will listen when we're crying. You, how in the world did he hear it? How in the world did Jesus know there was a blind man that needed help? All I can tell you was the cry was louder than the chaos. That when Bartimaeus cried the more a great deal, it said, and Jesus stood still. And he commanded him, bring him to me. Now, I don't know about you. I preached to us this week about when Samaria was besieged. You remember what Elisha told them? You're going to see it, but you ain't going to be a part of it. There's a lot of this world that's fed up with us. Well, you know, sometimes I'd like to let them, the feeling's mutual. We're fed up with y'all too. Some folks scared to tell them. I have no faith in our leaders. I don't care. Donkey, elephant, make no difference. I don't got a lot of faith in any of them. For the majority of them, they're liars. Amen? But I do tell you who I do have faith in. Jesus Christ. I said, I do got faith in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I don't love America. My love for America is what's got me fed up with them. My love for America is what gets me aggravated with the things that are going on in this land. It isn't just a soapbox. It's the sorrow of knowing the greatest nation on this planet is in the hands of evil men and evil women living with hidden agendas. But thank God, Babylon couldn't stop revival, and neither can a crooked administration. He said after 70 years be accomplished, I will visit you. I will take you back where you belong. I will give you that you desire of. So can I tell you today, it doesn't matter how long it's been and how much longer it's going to take. He's coming. I said he's coming. He's going to do what he said he would do. He's going to keep his word to you and I. But this is what he told them to do. Babylon don't want you singing. Sing anyway. Build houses. Live in them. Plant your gardens. Eat from them. Keep marrying your children. Keep raising children. Keep, you know what he was saying? You keep doing what you've always done. Revival's coming. Deliverance is coming. The worst thing a church could ever do was sit down and quit worshiping. Sit down and quit praising. Sit down and quit going to these altars. Sit down and quit preaching the gospel. He told them in Babylon, you're there for just a season of your life, but you must continue on. But then he tells them, let me get back to Bartimaeus. He told them, go get him. Now, this is my imagination. This isn't in the Bible, but they know we're in the Bible to prove it wrong. I just, in my imagination, just like to think that when Jesus commanded the group to go get him, it might have been the very man that told him to be quiet. Please be quiet. Hey, sir, how about you go get the blind man? He don't know where I'm at. How about you lead him over here to me? You seen me and you didn't take advantage of it. Amen. Have you ever wondered how many crippled people was in that crowd that didn't have to be crippled? Have you ever wondered how many impoverished people was in that crowd that didn't have to live that way? Have you ever thought maybe there were other blind people there that were holding the coattails of their friend, just walking with the Christ, but never experiencing what he had to provide? Have you ever wondered in the hour that we live in, how many people's just riding with the church and never felt it for themselves and never experienced it for their all? But finally a man said, I'm going to break the tradition. I'm going to cry above everything else. It's not enough for me to gather with the other people. I need a touch in my heart. I need a touch in my life, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get that touch. And he gets there. But you know what he did? There's a key in part of that story. Casting away that garment. If I read right, in that time, according to that raiment and that garment and that he had there with him, was a clear indication of passerby people of what he was. And we just think our smile tells the world we're happy. And we just think our car tells the world that we don't have financial problems. I can tell you a lot of people that you see, that looks like they've got it all at their fingertips. They're reaching every day because they're trying to get it and they ain't got it. And sometimes we hide so many things. My brother told it so great the other night. Put on a smile to hide a brokenness and to fight a battle that's going on. There's nothing wrong with the battle, y'all. Sometimes we look at that and say, well, man, that's bad that was going on. There's no truth be known. A lot of our minds, if we would have said, amen, brother, me too, would have said, my mind's been running just that same way. My heart's been overwhelmed just in that same. If we would be honest, a lot of people would have voted. You know why? Not because we're bad. Not because we're weak. Because we're human. Humans go through things. People go through battles. And the real battles. I used to think there wasn't nothing to anxiety. When I was a young man, I'd live just happy-go-lucky, didn't have a care in the world. Don't like me, don't care. I really was like that. Didn't make me no difference. I had people that did, and that's enough. You don't want to be a part of that group, don't matter to me. I was kind of that way. And now I'm still maybe in a sense of that. If people don't want to hear me preach, well, you know, that we're not the only ones having church. I'm okay with that if you don't want to come. But I found that personal things, that sometimes you get in a group of people, and what I used to think was just get over it, man, and move on. I found out it was real. That a lot of times I didn't put value on anxiety. I didn't put value on fighting nerves and these things. I was this young man, just living life, didn't care about a whole lot. But then I found out one day it knocked on my door and came in. And I recognized, man, this is a real thing. I can't tell it to leave. It's telling me what to do. It's controlling what I'm trying to enjoy. I can't enjoy what I have enjoyed. I'm feeling down when I'm supposed to be up. I don't know whether I need to go in the dark or I need to go out in the light. Don't know whether I need to hit something, scream, holler, cry, lay down, get up. Don't know what to do. I found out it was real. So I found a different type of a compassion for that part of life. I appreciated you, brother. I mean that. I appreciated you, what you said. Because it was only up when I got a little bit older that I recognized just how real this stuff is and how cruel the enemy of our souls is. But Bartimaeus said, you know what? I'm not just going to go talk to him. I'm going to talk to him in faith that I'm not coming back to this garment anymore. I'm not going to sit down on this mat tonight. I'm not going to wrap up under this bridge tonight. I'm not going to lay down with a storm in my life tonight. And I know I'm getting linked and I'm sorry, but I'm trying to help us today. Sometimes we need to make up our mind. This day when I go to the altar, I'm casting away what I've come in this building with. And if he'll help me, if I have to come back to this storm tonight, it'll be because he didn't heal me. It'll be because he didn't answer my prayer. But listen, now, you better come with full faith. It took full faith. He stopped the crowd. He was so desperate. He cried above everybody around him. He was so desperate. He didn't care who knew what the problem was. He didn't care who knew how long it had been bothering him. If somebody wants to come, I'm getting ready to stop. When he got there, what will thou that I do unto thee? Christ made it personal, Pastor. What do you need? I've been that man. And I'm glad that in that moment that it wasn't a preacher saying, I feel on my heart somebody today, and I don't mean this comical, I'm just trying to make a point. Please understand. Somebody in this building, pinky finger on your left hand hurting. And my heart's breaking in two, and I'm thinking, well, it wasn't for me today because my hand's not hurting. Y'all know I just used a silly illustration to try to make a point. And so I get excluded in that moment because I don't feel what he's talking about. But I like when the Holy Ghost will walk down the aisle and he may go to my brother on this side and say, I heard your prayer about that situation. And the same time he's speaking to his heart, he tells this full-time evangelist, just so you know, I'm understanding what you've asked me to help you with next week in your ministry. Amen. You know, that's what I like about the Holy Ghost. He don't have to give a blanket statement. Us preachers give a blanket statement sometimes, but the Holy Ghost will take it and make it personal to us, won't it? He'll say, this is what it means for you, and this is what it means for you. And this is what it means for that one. Amen. And he let Bartimaeus know, I know what the man behind me needs. And I know what the man in front of me needs. But what I want to know from you, what do you want me to do in your life? Do you want me to help you in your job? Do you want me to help your family? Do you want me to help your finances? Do you want me to give you a stronger wall? Bartimaeus could have said, I want a house on the hills with a beautiful life before me. And the Lord would have told him, your address from now on will be this. This is where you'll live. I just gave you that farm. He asked him, what do you want? And Bartimaeus recognized a great home would be a wonderful thing in its place. A new suit of clothes that hadn't been laying in the streets would be great. But you know what I like to think of? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things. Those other things cover life. That covers life. All these other things will be added unto thee, unto you. But what did he ask for? As we stand today, I just want to be able to see. What should I ask for this morning, preacher? Just ask him to see. Help me see the way. Help me see the direction. Help me see how to better follow you. Because what does it tell us when they left there? Who followed him? Bartimaeus. How? He could see him clearly. Give me a clearer view of Christ, and all these other things will be added unto me. He leads me to the places that will benefit my life. He leads me to the places that will benefit my soul. He wanted me to prosper even as my soul, right? He wanted my life to prosper, but he wants my soul to prosper. So I'll ask of you today, if this is that moment, if this weekend's been that revival, if this morning is that service, how will you handle the most valuable service you've ever been in? Is this one? Because you know why? The next one feeds off of what happens in this one. Tomorrow will be dictated on how I live today. Amen? And you said, but I think I'll just think on it a little bit. And tomorrow I'll make a choice. Was it Moody that told the group of people to think about what he had preached, and when they came back again, maybe they give the opportunity? And it was one of those great preachers of old. And after that service was the great Chicago fire that so many lost their lives in. And I believe, if I'm not wrong in reading, it haunted him for the rest of his years at the thought, I should have done it right then. He really didn't sin. He just had in his mind, there'll be another great opportunity. I'm going to give him another chance at this. He meant well. But can I tell you today, I don't think I'm even going to take the chance on telling us, let's think on this thing this afternoon. Let's come back tonight determined. Let's bombard heaven tonight and get a hold of God. Why not bombard him this morning? Why not lay hold of it this morning? I'd like to invite you to pray today, everybody that can and will, as our sister sings and plays. What are we going to do with our Sunday morning? What are you going to do with this moment? Is it valuable enough to say, hey, Christ, won't you touch me right now? Why don't you move in my heart right now? Why don't you make the difference in what I'm dealing with right now? And he will. Thy faith have made thee whole. Just the very belief that he could is what determined that he would. Everybody that would, let's reach out.